What makes him different to me and us is that he was full of righteousness and purity. He was so relatable and worthy to follow. I, John the Baptist, got the privilege of going before Jesus to prepare people for the coming Messiah. Isaiah prophesied about a messenger who would come from the wilderness, preparing a straight path in the desert for the Lord. What God did through my life fulfilled that prophecy. Before I was even born, my dad, Zechariah, who was a priest, prayed to God for a child. My mum and dad couldn't have children because my mum, Elizabeth, was barren. So how did I end up here? The odds were stacked against me even being born. It took God's intervention to give my parents a baby. God had plans for me and had foretold what I would do before I was born. I had a strange birth that took the intervention of God. Sounds pretty similar to a story of another boy's birth that gets celebrated at this time of the year. When my mum gave birth to me, although I didn't know it yet, I already had some pretty big shoes to fill. Dad was told people would rejoice because of my birth and that I would be great in the sight of the Lord. I mean, come on, I don't really look that great, do I? Who goes around wearing camel fur and leather? And I eat these critters and honey and, yeah, I'm not that great. The fact of the matter is, I'm just a human like all of us. I am not that great. But what God did through me was great. He chose me to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus. I was able to participate in God's mission in this way, and what a privilege it was. I also preached in the wilderness of Judea. I lived a radical life in the wilderness. I was a barbarian for Christ in the wilderness. Hopefully you've picked up by now that I'm a bit of a wild guy. But hey, Jesus calls us to be a bit wild. Not like a wild animal. We're not savages. Wild so that we are bold enough to do what the Lord asks of us. Wild enough that we are prepared to follow Christ through adversity and the hardship life throws at us. I'm a bit of a strange person, but God chose me to prepare people for what is coming. God can use anyone for his mission. So be prepared. Be prepared to do whatever God tells you to do. I prepared people for the coming Messiah. I also prepared people when I told them to repent. Only God has the right to judge us, and he sees what goes on in our lives beneath the surface. He calls us to repent. Be prepared that judgment will come to those who do not turn to the Lord. God loves us and wants to be in our lives. He wants to have a relationship with us. He brought Jesus to earth, the Son of God in the flesh, to be with us. Let God in. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. When the Pharisees and Sadducees came to see my ministry and what was going on, what I was doing, I was pretty mean to them. I used some pretty harsh words. I called them a brood of vipers. Who goes around calling people that? What if I was to call you snakes? That wouldn't be very nice. I know it's not very nice, but these people were living different lives to the one they preached. They thought they were righteous, but they acted differently. They were not like good trees that produce good fruit. They thought that because they were descendants of Abraham, they were safe from the wrath of God. No, no, no. Definitely not. Do not think that because of your family and because of the Christians in your life, that you are safe from judgment. People, I tell you today, be prepared if you think that sitting on the fence and watching from a distance what is happening in God's world is okay. You are mistaken. You cannot simply say you are a follower of Jesus, but then not act like it. That would be worse than not following Jesus altogether. We are saved by faith and not by works, but if our works are not good, if we are like trees producing a foul crop, our faith doesn't really have any grounds to stand on. Our faith should be reflected in the way we act. Sometimes all we need to do is be honest with ourselves and others. It takes vulnerability to confess our brokenness to God, to open up our lives and receive forgiveness. But when we truly repent and turn to Christ, we are saved. I ask of you today, share the good news in your homes, in your workplace, in your schools. Pray for those who do not know the love of Christ and the sacrifice he made for us. Care for God's wonderful creation. I urge you to prepare yourself. Equip yourself to go out into God's world. Read scripture. Prepare yourself to participate in his mission. Be saved and then recognize your calling to the community, to the world, and to God's glory. I just said be saved. And salvation is an interesting term. Why do we need it? Do we need a savior? Why do we need salvation? Look around you. Is everything good in the world? Is everything the way God intended it to be in creation? It definitely wasn't back in my day. We need a savior to save us from our brokenness, from our sin, and from death. When I was born, my father sung a song of praise to the Lord, singing, He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. I am not the savior. I am definitely not that horn of salvation, as I said earlier. I'm not worthy of filling the Savior's shoes. But I did baptize him. I baptized the Savior in the Jordan River. And we have a picture of that lovely river behind us. I was able to witness also what happened afterwards. When the Messiah came to me to be baptized, I was like, are you kidding? He didn't need to be baptized. Baptism is for those who need to repent. When people are dunked in the water, they confess their sin. Jesus had nothing to confess. He was sinless. I felt so uncomfortable and unworthy of baptizing such a person. I thought, surely, if the person coming after me is my successor, then he should be the one baptizing the predecessor and not the other way around. Jesus confused me when he came. He confused lots of us. He confuses us still today. I just couldn't work out why the Son of God would want someone like me to baptize him. When he told me why he wanted me to baptize him, it did make sense though. He wanted to do what was proper, the proper thing, and fulfill all righteousness. After I immersed Christ in the water, you should have seen what happened next. I wish you could have been there. It was unexplainable, unreal, amazing. As he got up out of the water, the skies above opened and a glimpse of heaven shone through. It was, honestly, it was amazing. There was this voice heard, God from the heavens saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit then descended from the heavens and looked like this white dove. Describing this story, you probably think I'm crazy. And honestly, I find it hard to believe myself, but I was there and it was incredible. It was so special to be there and to see the power of God and the love he had for Jesus and for all of us. Jesus showed us the significance of baptism. He showed us why it is important, the symbol and the ritual of salvation. When I baptized people, I called them to repent. I baptized in the Jordan River, which was special to us Jewish folk, because it reminded us of the Israelites of old crossing the river into the promised land. When I brought people up out of the water, it was like they were returning to God. The past separation from sin had been broken away, and these people were saved. I was only able to baptize people with water for repentance, but Jesus does something way more awesome. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus alone has the power to save us. Come to him. Be baptized if you haven't already. If you have already, allow him to continuously sanctify your heart. Be a bit wild for Christ. Be prepared to receive him into your lives and be saved by him.